As you're able, would you kneel with me in the opening prayer at this time? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful to have this day and the blessings of life, Father, and this opportunity of which we might come together before Thee on this day as we have done, Father. Thankful that we have this time, this place of worship, Father. And most of all, Father, we give thanks to You for the precious gift of Your Son, who's opened this avenue of which we might approach Thee as we do this day, Father. Asking and praying that Your Spirit would be here in abundance among us, Father, that You would reach out and touch each, that each here this day might feel Thy presence. Asking and praying, Father, that You might look down upon us in mercy and forgiveness, Father, for we know that we are weak and do stumble before Thee, Father, and do so easily succumb to sin. Asking and praying, Father, that You would grant unto us the strength that we need to resist temptation. Asking and praying always, Father, that You'd give unto us wisdom and discernment, that You would help us, that we would always be able to make the proper judgments and decisions, Father. And so this day, as we have come together before Thee, we would do so asking and praying that You would look down upon our brother who would stand before us this day, that You would reach down and give unto him those words and the inspirations that he needs, that he would be able to present to us this day the words of life that would be of instruction to us to be able to more effectively continue in our walk of this life and be pleasing to Thee and to be able to glorify Thy name in all our doings. We ask and pray this day, Father, that You be with those with sicknesses, illnesses, or for those who have voluntarily severed themselves from their relations with us, that You might help that they would once again have a desire to be here in our midst. And so as always, Father, we do ask and pray these things in the name of Your most holy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sister Kim Shears asked that number 325, The Lily of the Valley, 325. And when you find your places, if you would once again rise, please. Now at this time that you might give to our brother your offer up your prayers and give to him your kind and your considerate attention this day as he would offer to us the words of life. Give to you our brother and elder and our current pastor, Brian McAdoo.
He says current like he's ready for a change. I'd like to begin today with a verse, actually a couple of verses in the first chapter of Ephesians. Now I'm going to read verses 3 through 5, and then I'm going to skip over to verse 11. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of sons by the Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." You know, certain people, denominations, groups, tend to hang a lot of interpretation, a lot of ideas on this word predestinated, which really only shows up a couple of times in the scriptures, not more than two or three times in the Bible. But when they hang this interpretation on there, they sometimes have a tendency to use it as a cop-out. They seem to use it by saying, you know, God hasn't chosen me to be a churchy type of person. God hasn't chosen me to be one of his. So if I've fallen away into the world, into the world system, to the world's way of living, I guess it's because God didn't predestine me otherwise. Or they even use it as an excuse, well, I'm not destined, so I'm not going to get there anyhow. Or if I'm not destined, I won't. So it doesn't really matter what I do, because God predestines people for where they're going to go, what their life is going to be. And it's used a lot. I hear it a lot. That's the way it's interpreted by a lot of people. And it can gain some credence and some support if you use the words of Jesus with it. It says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him," which is found in John 6:44. But I ask you, does that mean that he selects not to draw some people to him? When he says, "You can't come unless the Lord draws you," does that mean he's not going to draw some people to him? And since he doesn't draw certain people to him, they are non-believers, they are wicked, they are perverted, they are the unrighteous people of the world, those that he decided not to draw. He's predestined them to be wicked people upon the face of the earth, just to challenge us Christians. And they're the way they are because God has chosen them to be that way. He's chosen never to draw them to Christ. He's chosen and never intended them to go to heaven. He never gave them a chance to experience Jesus Christ and his love, because God never predestined them from the beginning to be one of his. And if you believe that, that means you believe that God made non-believers, he made unrighteous, unrepentant sinners for his purpose. Just for the purpose of going to hell. I don't believe that most of you think that way. In fact, I've heard you express your opinion against that way of thinking quite often. I'd like to take today and share with you my thoughts and beliefs on what this word predestined, as in Paul's writing, actually means, and how he applied it to his writing and how we should apply it to our lives. I'll give to you, if you don't already have it, some spiritual basis for my believing the way I do, that God has not chosen some people to be sinners and some people to be shoo-ins to heaven. You know, Jesus did say that no one can come to him except the Father draweth him, which is true. It's really true. We're all sinners by nature because of the fall. We'll all choose wickedness. We'll all choose self-centeredness for ourselves, for our lives, unless we have the power of God to draw us away from those things. to draw us away from the natural man. And Jesus tells us it takes that drawing from God, that Spirit of God, to draw us away from the world, away from our natural selves, away from the natural man, and bring us to God. But Jesus didn't say, he says it does take a drawing of the Lord to bring you to Christ, but he never said that he doesn't draw some people because he chooses not to. And he desires that they're wicked. That's only an assumption on people that because he does draw some, that he doesn't draw others. But the Scripture says just absolutely the opposite of that. In fact, Jesus said, all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father in John 5:23. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. John 12:32. And Jesus said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. And of course we have other scriptures. We have the scripture that says, who will have all men be saved and come unto the truth, knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. And for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Titus 2:11. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and us as the people of the world. Titus 2:14. And then Paul, he told young Timothy, he said, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. 1 Timothy 4:10. Now Paul, the very one that wrote about this predestination, if he believed that God has appointed some people to be believers and some people not to be believers, why would he tell Timothy that they were going to have to labor and they were going to have to suffer to take the gospel out? Why would he call Jesus the Savior of all men? Why would he suffer if some people were just destined to go to heaven? Because they were going to go there anyhow. You must be called by God to receive Christ, but God has called or will call all to receive and to believe. It's foolishness to blame God for your sins or for failing to surrender your life to Him. James, first chapter, verses 13 and 14. It says, but every man is tempted when he draweth away his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It is man following his own lust that separate him from God, and that keeps him from drawing himself close to God. It's the lust of man. Not because God has chosen not to draw him, because man has chosen to live after his own flesh, after his own desires. And the Book of Mormon essentially says the same thing to us, where it says, whosoever doeth iniquity doeth it unto himself. We are free and permitted to act for ourselves, in Helaman 5:85. But all people are drawn. Jesus came for all people. Jesus came to save everyone. We can read, it says, and he cometh into the world that he might save all men. 2 Nephi 6:45. But it goes on to give a prerequisite to being saved. It says he's come here to save all men, each and every one of you, everybody in the world you run across. Jesus came to save all of them. But it gives a prerequisite to be saved. It says, if they will hearken unto his words. He's here for them, but there is a requirement. The requirement is that they hearken unto his words. Samuel prophesied of signs that would precede the coming of Christ. And he's told, there's specific reasons why I'm going to give you these signs about this coming of the Messiah, the Christ that's going to come to this world. The same Christ that we read about that's going to come to save all men. On page 592 of your Book of Mormon, Helaman 566. Says, and also that you might know the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and of earth, the creator of all things from the beginning, that ye might know the signs of his coming. Then it tells the reason why you would know the signs of his coming, to the intent that you might believe in his name. It's the very intent of God sending his Son that everyone would believe and be saved. Alma, he said, a way is prepared for salvation. Whosoever will may walk therein. That very intent, that very words, that if you believe, if you will walk therein, a way is prepared for salvation for all people. Of course, there's always going to be those who are going to resist the calling of the Father. As the Father calls them and tries to draw them in, they're going to resist that calling, which is the very reason Jesus himself cried. We can read in the Bible. It says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you're killing the prophets which prophesied of me. You're stoning those that I'm sending to teach you. How often I have gathered my children together, even as a hen has gathered her chicks. But you would not. I've called you. I've drawn you. I've gathered you together. But you would not." The Lord, he is desirous that everyone should come. He has prepared a way for everyone, even before he created them. Before he created you, he's prepared a way for you to come to him. And that way is Jesus Christ. Jesus told the brother of Jared, we were reading about the brother of Jared, you should all know this. He told the brother of Jared 2,000 years before Jesus was even born, 4,000 years before you were born. He told the brother of Jared, he says, "I am he that was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people." 4,000 years before you were born, the Lord told the brother of Jared he was prepared to redeem his people. And of course, the foundation is always the very first step of construction. If you're going to build any type of construction, a building, the first thing you do is pour a foundation. And the foundation of the world is the very beginning, the very step. And before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was prepared. The Bible says, the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we all know that story. We all know how Jesus came into this world without blemish and without spot, was the lamb that was sacrificed for each and every one of us. But it goes on to say, it says, who verily was foreordained or predetermined before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:19 and 20. Jesus Christ was determined to be that lamb, that sacrifice for our sins, before the world was ever established. This brings us to Paul's word, predestined, or predestinate, that we say there are those who are predestined to make it to heaven. There are those who are predestined to receive God as their Savior and their Word. But just as Christ was prepared from the foundation of the world to die for your sins, a plan was made, a plan of redemption, a plan of salvation was established. And King Benjamin, he told it, he put it in the words, he said, the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world that thereby salvation might come to him that put their trust in the Lord. From the very beginning of the world, a plan had been established for you to receive God and to receive Christ and to receive salvation and forgiveness of your sins. Nephi discovered in his vision that he had, he said a Messiah would come and a way was prepared from the foundation of the world to be received. So Nephi saw it also. And we're going to read the way that this comes, the way that it is in Alma 13. verses 43 for 45, page 384. Excuse me. And he said, "Yea, I believe that the great Spirit created all things, and I desire that ye should tell me concerning these things, and I will believe thy words." And it came to pass that Aaron saw the king would believe his words. I'm reading the wrong verses here. I think it's verses 45 through 40. Yeah, that's right. And it came to pass that when Aaron saw the king would believe his words, began from the creation of Adam, reading the scriptures unto the king, how God created man after his own image, and that God gave his commandments, that because of the transgression, man had fallen. And Aaron did expound unto him the scriptures from the creation of man, lying the fall of man before him and their carnal state. Excuse me. And also the plan of redemption, which was prepared from the foundation of the world through Christ for all whosoever would believe on his name. The foundation of the world, there was a plan made through Jesus Christ. The key word there is plan. A plan was made that we might be saved since the very beginning, since the world was created, since before the world was created, a plan was made that we might be saved. I'm glad to know that God had the foresight to think of about a plan to save our souls before he ever created us. Because if he went into it and didn't have a plan, we probably would never have been saved. And this word plan is the key word here. The word predestinate that Paul talked about comes from a Greek word where we get our word schematic. And if you don't know what a schematic is, it's a working plan. Engineers, electronic technicians are very dependent upon schematics. I think if you ask Mike to repair something, your radio or something, first thing he'd ask you for is, well, do you have the schematic for it? It's the working plan for that radio, for that piece of equipment. And this word predestinate uses the same word that we get our word schematic, the working plan. Ephesians says, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. He has a working plan for us to be adopted to Jesus Christ. A working plan has been established to become his. Everyone in the world is in that plan. Everyone is predestinated for salvation. God's design is that way, that everyone is on the plan. The plan is in place, but it absolutely doesn't mean everybody's going to follow the plan. There's a lot of people that go into a radio and start cutting wires and changing out things and never look at the schematic and botch everything up. There's no doubt in my mind, because that's the kind of guy I would be if I looked at that, because I can't understand the schematic. But the schematic has been laid for us on how to do that. But the plan is there, that everyone can be saved, and it has been determined since the beginning. Now, certainly God knows who is going to and who is not going to follow that plan. Thus, Peter said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. 1 Peter 1:2. He says, there are those who are elected to go to heaven by the foreknowledge of God the Father. Because God knows who's going to get there. He knew ahead of time. He's elected them to that position because he knew that they were or were not going to follow the plan. You see, we can find that there are those that will be saved, and they have already been documented in writing. Now, it kind of sounds like I'm stepping on myself here, that there are those who are going to make it to heaven, who are going to receive salvation. It's already been written down. But you probably perceive that I was telling you all along that the plan has been made for all men. We're not predestined. But let's take a look at Revelation 13:8. Don't turn to it. Let me just tell you what it says. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, being the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life, in the book of the Lamb. In Revelation 17:8, it says, "And the beast shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they shall dwell on earth, shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." So if we have names that are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, again, back in the very beginning, when the plan was made, before the earth was created, there are going to be those names that were. If they're not written in the book of life, there are some that were not written there. There are going to be some that were. There are some that were written in the book of life since the very foundation of the world. And if there are those that are not written there, they never will be. We have a tendency to hear ministry. I could be guilty of this also. We have a tendency to hear ministry while doing a prayer over a baptism or a blessing, ask the Lord to write their names in the book of life. But if it's going to be there, it already is. The name Dwayne Ely, the name Joel Yates, the name Verda Malone was scribed by God in the book before we ever created this earth for you to live on. Before the time that we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He sat down and He opened a book and He wrote your name if you're going to be there. Before the foundations of the world ever started, your name was written there. You know, I don't believe that an angel ever came up to God and said, "God, you know, Brian was out doing this and that and such," and God goes, "Gosh, I didn't know that." I don't believe God's ever used the words, "I didn't know that." Because God knows everything. You know, we can look in the second book of Nephi. It says, "Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for He knoweth all things, and there is not anything save He knoweth it." He knows all things. He knows who is going to receive that plan of salvation and going to follow it and walk therein, and who is not. The first day of school is coming for all you kids here probably tomorrow. Most of you are going to be going to school. Some of you older kids are going to be going to school. You know, you in your early 20s. Going to go to college, and your teacher is going to call your name, and you're going to have to raise your hand and tell him who you are, identify yourself to him. If you're in a college class, you may have to get up and tell everybody who you are and explain why you took the class. I hate that. You know, I hate to have to do that. But nobody knows you, so you have to introduce yourself to everybody. Well, when Jared gets to heaven, God's going to say, "Hi, Jared. Good to see you here." He's not going to have to introduce himself. When Brian gets to heaven, I'm not going to have to go there and stand in line and wait for him to call my name and raise my hand. He's going to know this is Brian. So He already knows who you are. He already knows that you're going to make it or that you're not going to make it to heaven. But some people have a hard time with this concept. They say, if He knows and it's already written down, how in the world can you tell me He didn't determine it ahead of time? I mean, if He scribed it down there, then if He didn't put my name on there, I might as well give up because I won't get there. Well, first off, you don't know, so you don't know if it is or not. But just because it's written down and just because somebody has knowledge of it doesn't make it so. Doesn't make it so. Doesn't make it happen. There's a guy named Edmund Halley. He's a British astronomer. He knew it was coming, and he wrote it down. He charted the course and charted the information that a comet that he had never seen in his life was going to come and orbit the Earth in the year 1758. His knowledge and his writing it down made no effect on that comet. That comet didn't say, "Oh man, somebody wrote it down. I'm going to have to do this curve here and go around the Earth a couple of times." It made no difference. The comet still came. And it happened, even though it was known. Just a few years ago, it happened again. And we all look forward to it. You know, the news would tell about it. We'd go out there, we'd look up in the sky to see if we could see this comet at night. But our knowledge didn't make a difference. It did not make that comet happen. Did not make that comet come just because we had a knowledge of it. God's knowledge doesn't decide our fate. We do. We make the decision God knows what decisions we're going to make, but we make that decision, each and every one of us. The working plan and the schematic includes something for us to do. It says, this life became a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God. A time to prepare for the endless state, for that eternal state. We have a life here, and in this life, we have our own work to do, which is to prepare to meet God. To prepare yourselves to be acceptable before God. Because He has chosen you. He hasn't not predestinated any of you to go to heaven. The predestination is a plan for everyone to be saved. A plan that we all receive, Jesus Christ. He has chosen you. He has drawn you. He has prepared and predestined the way through Jesus Christ. Long before this world was ever established, He prepared that way for you to come. And you, and only you, can choose your walk in life. And really, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to take our walk in life and set our course and our path and our decisions are based on what other people are doing and what we see and what's happening and what seems to be acceptable. But it doesn't make any difference what somebody else does. We have to choose our walk in life. And we can only do that for ourselves. It doesn't make any difference what path somebody else walks. What makes a difference is what we do with our path. You know, we don't know. We never know what the conditions or the circumstances are around other people's lives. So we can't judge our own lives and our own walk according to them. The Lord has prepared the way. He's prepared the books. He's prepared the knowledge. He's prepared the understanding on what we should do to walk in His footsteps, to walk in His path. So we have to prepare ourselves to meet God, because He has predestined every one of us in this world for heaven. Let's take a look again at Ephesians first chapter. In verse 4, it's the same words, the same words I started with about predestined. Let's start at verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heaven, heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world. He has chosen all of us that we should be holy. That we should be holy, not worldly. That's part of that plan. Part of that plan to be prepared, that we should be holy. That's the way that we should walk. And without blame, before Him in love. But how are we supposed to be without blame? It tells us up there ahead of just the verse before. We have it through Jesus Christ. We can stand blameless only through Jesus Christ. Down to verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's how we can stand without blame. That's how we can be acceptable, is by accepting Jesus Christ. And through His blood, we can receive that, according to the riches of His grace. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mysteries of His will. That's the whole key. He's told us the plan of salvation. He's laid known all the mysteries. He's made known to you, if you will only listen and hearken, what you are to do and what you are not to do with your life. What path you are to walk. What is acceptable and what is not acceptable. They're not a mystery, because He's made known these mysteries of His will. According to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, which is His own purpose, not our purpose. That in the dispensations of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. that he might gather together in all things in Christ. Every one of you, the whole world is predestined, and he wants to gather in together all of them. Just like he said there to Jerusalem, how often will I gather you, my children, just as a chick gathers hers, her chicks, but you would not? You would not? Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Predestined, that plan, that working plan, that schematic, that plan of salvation, which is established for everyone, for all that will receive. I think predestined is often used, taken as a phrase, used as an excuse. But I think that word predestined really applies to that great plan of salvation. And that great plan of salvation was established for every person that walketh on this earth, for every one of us. So every person is predestined for heaven. But not every person will get there, because there are going to be those names that are not written in the book of life. And it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know if your name is there or not. Only because you don't know the future. But you have that free will to control the future. So if you control that future and walk after the ways of Christ, walk after that plan of salvation, keep his commandments, walk in his footsteps, you can be in that plan of salvation. And you will find that great and last day that your name is written in that book of life. Thank you for your time.
Heart. 1, 2, 2. And if you stand, if you sing, please. Thank you.
we pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful to have had this time, this opportunity to hear the message that was presented to us this day, Father. Would you ask and pray that indeed you would help us, that we would be able to choose the walk in this life that would allow us to find our names written in the book of life, Father. And so we do ask that you would intervene in our lives to guide and direct us to this end, asking and praying, Father, that you would always be with us in our needs and attentive to us, Father. We pray that you would be with our sister Kim and that the need she had would be addressed by thee, that you would keep her in your care. So we do trust ourselves in thy watch care and ask and pray that you would continue with us this day and the services to follow. And for these things, we do give thanks. We do ask and pray for our Savior, Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.